on DAB Digital Radio, Digital TV, downloads and online.
This is 5 Live.
Now here's an extra tidbit for you. I spoke to Simon Pegg of Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz fame, who stars in the new film How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. Simon Pegg has got a new movie out. Mark will review it after three. It's called How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. He's regarded as one of the few British actors that can open a big Hollywood movie. But when I spoke to him earlier, he reacted pretty modestly to that suggestion.
I don't know if that's true, but that's nice of you to say so, Simon.
Well, I reckon it's... Well, that's about to be true, isn't it?
Well,
you're the new Hugh Grant.
No, God, no. Hugh Grant is the new Hugh Grant. He's the old one as well.
Well, it's good to have you back in the country because I'm afraid we're going to lose you to Hollywood. You're tempted, aren't you? There's Crouch End, part of your life, but the other half is Los Angeles.
I don't know. I kind of I always relish coming home. It's you know what? The film industry is so global now that you don't really have to, unless you're doing like a long-running series on American TV, you don't really have to live in LA. Because I could move there and then have to come back to London for 6 months to shoot something. So fortunately for me, I get to stay at home, and I'd quite like to remain there, to be honest.
Yes, and if you're at home in Crouch End, I imagine that's sort of a very grounding experience.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I'd like, you know, getting out, walking my dog and just going down to the end and having a coffee. And that's what I like.
Yes. And then a zombie will attack you and then you're in real trouble.
But I'm armed for that now. I know what to do.
Now, so tell us about How to Lose Friends and Alienate People based on the Toby Young book. Just explain what's going on here.
Well, it's based on Toby's memoir, which was about him going to New York to work for Vanity Fair and making a fool of himself at every turn. The book has been adapted by Peter Strawn, who's a really great screenwriter, who's basically extrapolated a movie from Toby's experiences. So it's kind of based loosely on his life. I play Sidney Young in the film, so I'm a sort of fictionalized version of Toby, which gave us a lot more freedom.
You've hardly tried with the name there, isn't it? So Toby Young in the book and Sidney Young. Do you think people will make that connection?
I think, you know, you've got to lay it out there these days. People are too used to watching scary movie and stuff.
And what kind of a person is Sidney Young?
He's kind of like a ruthlessly self-promoting fool. I think he's desperate to be a kind of a renegade and a bit sort of, you know, a bit of a rebel, but doesn't quite. He sort of underestimates the American media industrial complex and ends up just being an idiot.
So to what extent is he exactly the same as Toby Young? Because I think Toby's been quoted as saying that actually the way you've played him, you're a lot nicer.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with the movie. You know, obviously, you've got to go on a journey with this guy, and he can't be completely objectionable the whole way through. So there has to be something about him which you eventually sort of take to. I think with Toby, if you read Toby's book, you do like him, but only because he's so brutally honest about the fact that he is, you know, a bit of an idiot. And obviously, in a film, you have less time to get that across, so the whole thing's a more sort of condensed version of the truth.
Did you talk to him at length beforehand? Obviously, reading the book, you get a sense of the kind of character and you've read the script and so on. But would it have been a help or a hindrance to spend a lot of time with Toby?
Well, we met up a couple of times before we started shooting. I went out to dinner with him and we went and had drinks. But I kind of made a decision, not least because of the way the script was, to not do an impersonation of Toby, not to play him as as a direct sort of copy of him. I thought, let's start from scratch and build the character up from the page rather than the man. So I saw him a little bit, but I always got on well with him. I expected some whirling dervish of obnoxiousness, but he's not really.
Well, which is reassuring at the very least, but you just seem a lot more likeable than he does. Would that be a fair enough comment?
I'd like to think so.
Yes. who else is in this? Because I know Kirsten Dunst is there. I mean, that must be really, really tough to have a relationship with Kirsten Dunst in this movie. I mean, that's one of the tough things, eh?
Terrible, terrible. To be stuck in a love triangle with her and Megan Fox was just a daily grind for me, which I had to face with a fake smile.
Because if you're such a horrid person, how come you end up with someone like Kirsten Dunst? What does she see in you?
Well, I think Kirsten's character, Alison, just, you know, she admires Sydney's sort of tenaciousness, I guess, in the end. Or, you know, there's a little bit of humility in him, which I think comes through. And if there's anything there to be liked, it's that. And with Megan, you know, she just sees Sydney as a way of becoming famous. So, you know, but I think it's a sweet story in that respect, and it was great. I mean, Kirsten is a fantastic actress, and it was really fun working with her.
So for Vanity Fair, we read Sharps. Yes, correct. Sharps is Vanity Fair. The boss of of this magazine is Jeff Bridges.
That's correct.
He's just great in everything. So, well, so your first day on set with Jeff Bridges, what's that like? Because you're the star of the film. It's not Jeff Bridges who's the star of this film. This is Simon Pegg, who's starring ahead of Jeff Bridges. What was that like?
It was humbling and ridiculous at the same time. We met for dinner the weekend when he came to shoot his scenes. We all went out to dinner, and you know, he's such a laid back, effortlessly pleasant man that by the time we came to shoot the scenes, we were very comfortable. Now I knew for a fact that I would have to bring my absolute A game to the table, because you know, working with Jeff, you're just going to disappear. So, but he's really generous and just, he's like the dude, you know, from the Big Lebowski. He kind of is like that. He's just very laid back and everything's very easy. He's very sort of tactile. He's a really cool guy. So thank God for that, because it would have been terrifying if he wasn't.
Yeah. Are you easily intimidated?
I don't know. I guess so. I mean, I'm always impressed around people that I admire. You know, if you meet somebody that you have any kind of respect or affection for, you're going to feel a little bit kind of, you're going to want them to like you. So, you know, with Jeff, I definitely, you know, really hoped that we would get on, and we did. And you know, I knew we would, because he emailed me before he arrived in London, just sent me this really lovely email, which I ran around the house with screaming, look at this, to my wife. Look, he's emailed me. So I knew
You're going to have to stop that kind of behaviour, because now you are Simon Pegg and you're opening this movie, and you know, you can't let this information out, Simon.
I know. I don't know. Maybe I'm supposed to be cooler. I don't know if I think. But then, you know, why be cool? Why not enjoy it?
Well, no, absolutely. And now is the time to do it, as you're jet setting, but you know, all over the place. But I just think it's worth saying, you know, because we've been watching your stuff for quite a while. You know, you're a fixture on television and in the movies. But there aren't that many British stars who lead a proper American distributed movie like this.
I suppose so. It's happened very incrementally, though, you know, it sort of crept up on me, really. I think the funny thing was that we made a little British movie in Shaun of the Dead, and that happened to do well, and that's just led on to other things. And, you know, I guess that's how it happens. I mean, it was only because of that film that I ended up working with J.J. Abrams on Mission Impossible, because, you know, he's a film fan, and he saw the film and just called me up. And it's not people often talk about Hollywood as being this sort of mystical place that you get a golden ticket and you walk across a misty bridge at night and you never come back. But it is just another place where films get made. And you know, as an actor or a writer or a director or whatever, you're bound to eventually gravitate towards it.
Can you hear yourself now? It's just another place where films get made.
It's true, though.
But would you have said that a couple of years ago?
I don't know. I guess not, because it would have seemed, it would still have been quite a mythic place for me. But I've been there now. It is amazing, and it is kind of, the whole place is geared towards the film industry. So you do constantly come up against it and see people from it and have amazing experiences there. But you realize that, you know, the reason people go there is because there's a lot of work there. It's not because the streets are paved with gold.
Now you've. On that streets of paid with gold thing, that you still have quite a few head-turning moments, it seems. And the work with Steven Spielberg must be one of those moments, Simon, where you thinking, wow, this, you know, I know the past couple of years have been good, but this is about to get quite extraordinary.
Well, that was that speculation that has been printed as fact. I did meet Steven Spielberg, and we had a great afternoon together, and we're just sort of shooting around a few silly ideas. But that's now been listed as I am working with Spielberg, which I may or may not be. I can't confirm.
Right. Okay. So shall we tread around this quite carefully? If you were to be turning up in any of these Tintin movies,
yes.
As one half of the Thompson twins, for example, I'm just running with this, you know, just in case. Would we be surprised if we were to see you doing that or not? Do you think?
Probably not as surprised as you would have been 2 weeks ago. That's a possibility. So you just never know.
You just never know. I mean, we were talking about this with Andy Serkis. He came in when we were at Wimbledon.
Another Crouchender.
This is what they should be doing, the whole thing in Crouch. If you could set up a studio there, maybe next to Bob Dylan's house.
I saw Andy the other day. I was driving down the road and we waved to each other, and I thought, isn't it odd that we're both in from Crouch End?
And in the same Steven Spielberg movie. I mean, what an extraordinary thing. Allegedly. But life's pretty good, Simon, yeah?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's kind of just muddling through and keeping working, really. Just trying to keep happy.
Is it quite difficult, seriously, to keep your feet on the ground and to keep the friends and family and just stay the Simon Pegg that we've been watching for many years over here?
I think it's easier than you might think. I think all you have to do is remember, you know, what it all really means and how meaningless it all is in terms of, you know, what it brings you in terms of, you know, and I use this word in inverted commas, but celebrity is all that's kind of, never believe a word of it, I think. You know, I think the reason actors often perhaps become difficult people is because they believe everything people are telling them, and really they're just being told that to keep them happy.
Have you ever had any Spinal Tap moments where you've caught yourself, you're thinking, hang on here, Mr. Pegg?
Sometimes, you know, you read things back that you've said in interviews and you sound like, they were great. Yeah, I don't know, sounding slightly lovey-ish or whatever. But it's difficult not to be positive about a job that you really enjoy, you know. And I also, you know, I can't stand gossip and negativity. So people always want you to dish dirt on people and that. And I never really want to do that, so I always sound ever so gushy.
No, it's true, though.
Everyone I've met has been lovely.
So if we can't talk about the Spielberg thing, what can we talk about? What do we see you in next, Simon?
I guess the next thing you'll see me in is Star Trek.
Which
is out in May next year. And that was a great... I'm bound legally, even gagged by Paramount, not to speak about it in terms of the plot, but I can tell you that the experience was fantastic and... I think the film is going to be amazing. I've seen snippets of it, and it's genuinely breathtaking. So I'm very excited about that.
Tell us about the plot.
You won't get me that way, Mayo.
No, it was a cunning question.
It could have been. If it was anyone, it would be you.
But you spotted it. Listen, Simon, it's always good to talk to you, and we wish you all the best for this new movie. It sounds absolutely fascinating. Congratulations on all the stuff here. So it's How to Lose Friends and Alienate People, which opens when?
It opens October the 3rd.
And we look forward to it. Simon, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5. Live.